This podcast was sponsored by me, paid for by me. Listen, I'm working on right now on buying companies, Amazon companies. I love buying companies. It's fun. It's amazing. I love this thing. If you have a brand that you think we might want to buy, go to aaroncordovas.com/valuation for your free business valuation. This is also sponsored by Samurai Seller. It's our ad software, the new Amazon ads automation tool. We just released it. This thing is fantastic. And I'm telling you, I'm sponsoring you to get a free run of our software. Sign up now for a 14-day trial. And I'm telling you, I will guarantee that we will improve your advertising efficiency on Amazon in your first month. If not, you just ask us for your money back. We'll send it to you immediately. I want to save you money. Come on. Go to samuraiseller.com/start.
Getting bestsellers online. Getting a piece of the action. Learn from the top sellers. Become a top seller. Ecom leaders. Start now.
Okay, Whitney. The moment everybody's been waiting for. How we got our first lawsuit. Why? And all that stuff. So we first got a letter. We got a letter like July, August. Uh-huh. 2017, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you know, you're infringing on our patent and some stuff, and don't do it anymore because it's ours.
Yes, I remember now. Okay, so when we first got that, it was very like, oh my God, what is this? We're getting a lawsuit.
Well, it wasn't a lawsuit. It started off like. Just
no,
light.
But still, we were like, what
yeah,
well, is this?
Yeah, for sure.
It was definitely impinging. Okay, we were definitely like, whoa, what is this? And I remember that. You did a bunch of research, and you asked some other.
I asked some friends about which lawyer should we go to, and honestly, nobody had a good attorney. I didn't get a good recommendation, and I just Googled.
Right.
I just checked on Google and found a lawyer, in Miami, and that was the beginning of the worst part.
Yes,
the hiring the lawyer.
Of the worst part, and the reason why we're saying that it was the beginning of the worst part is because. That lawyer was actually the downfall. It wasn't the downfall.
I mean, it could have been. It could have been.
It was.
Because we never fall. We never fell. We were almost falling. So basically...
I think it was a little bit too close. It was very hairy.
So what happened, the lawyer basically said, listen, this person's never going to sue you. We're going to look for some prior art. We'll find something that will invalidate the patent and blah, blah, blah. And I go, huh, sounds great. At that point, you know... This product was like 70% of our sales, something like that, maybe more. And I just quit my job. And
literally a month prior, he quit his job before we received that.
Yeah, so that was pretty crazy. And then the lawyers on both sides were just saying how their lawyers were saying we were horrible. Or lawyers were saying they're never going to sue you. They don't care about it, this and that. You're not really violating any patent. Etc. So, but then eventually, look, it was crazy. Okay.
But then they actually sent us a certified letter, and I remember because we had to sign for it to receive it, and that was the court.
No. So first you get the lawsuit filed, and it was filed on your birthday. She's pregnant. Okay, it's September 2017. Pregnant with our second child, just quit my job. This is the only thing we have. And the lawsuit was filed. And then I think about 30 days later, or at some point later, it gets served. So what they do is they knock on your door and they look at you and they like hand it to you in your hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? And I got it. And like they walk away. I forgot what they said. They're just like, are you Aaron? I'm like, yeah, I'm Aaron. Boom. And I'm like, oh God, what just happened? I should have not been home. Like if you've seen those movies, those people like, don't want to show up in the house.
True.
It's because if they don't give you that paper, then there's no confirmation that you actually received it, right? It could just be mail and somewhere else. So they find you and they're like, is that your name? Boom! So if you're getting a lawsuit and you want to be really shady, just move out of town somewhere and they'll never find you. No, don't do that. That's bad advice. So no, it's fine. So at the end of the day, it became very real.
But when that happened is when everything changed and the whole mindset was like, whoa, our lawyers are giving us actually
false information.
Invalid information.
Well, at first they said, oh, they're threatening you, but they'll never file a lawsuit. Then they filed a lawsuit and they said, oh, well, they're never going to like serve the lawsuit. Like they're just a student trying to scare you. And then at that point, when served the lawsuit, there's like a court date and everything. So at
Literally,
that point,
the lawyers were horrible. It was just horrible. Because every single piece of advice that they gave us was actually false.
Thank you, Winnie. Thank you. So at the end of the day, at that moment, okay, like things came out, and a lot of things occurred in that time, and we're like looking for a lot of help and how do we actually solve this and what do we do? And at the end of the story, even my mom was telling me this, and I wasn't listening to her until something happened. But she was saying like you need to find and talk to them. She told me that later. I don't even remember that conversation, but she told me she said that. I don't know. Whatever. Point is, we said, forget the lawyers. We need to actually contact this company and contact the person.
No, we didn't say that. He said that.
Okay, okay, good.
Okay? And it was literally, I think, 3 weeks before the actual court date.
True. Yeah. Like, the court date was, like, it was, like, set. I forgot what it was, like, November or October. I forget the day of the, that it was scheduled.
Right. So, but the court date was set, and there was basically fire into the ass because he had just quit his job, right?
And I was getting rid of those lawyers, so I had no representation for the lawyers. Meaning, like, I was never going to hire that firm because they were horrible. So now I know I don't have any lawyer under retainer. I'm representing myself. At the end of the day, I went crazy on LinkedIn, and I contacted, like, so many people at that company, and I said, listen, my wife is pregnant, this and this. I want to help you guys. I'll help you on Amazon. I'll do anything for you. I'll settle. I will pay you. I will do anything for you, okay? I am your servant. I am your slave. I work for you. I will do anything. And so I sent that to a bunch of people, and one of them got the message, printed it out, and put it on the desk of the person who was actually driving that lawsuit. And that person got it, and it was a Friday afternoon in the office, and I got a phone call. I'm like, I don't know this number from New York or whatever. And I answered it. I said, hi, is this Aaron? I'm like, yeah. And they said, blah, blah, blah. This is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, yes. Hello. Hello.
Sir, yes, sir.
So good to talk to you. Oh my gosh. I guess you got my message. And he says, yeah. And I want to just see what's happening or whatever. And we spoke for like 50 minutes, and I basically apologized to him. I said, we'll pay you.
We'll do whatever
work on your
you
Amazon.
Want.
I will, like, the lawyers maybe were.
We'll
were
help you
stuff.
Guys with your Amazon listings. He was really trying to be fully in exchange with them and letting them know that we were actually really sorry and we were taking lawyers' advice, legal yeah. advice yeah. that we'd never had been in that kind of a position before. What we thought is, okay, you get a lawyer and then you negotiate and you work with the lawyer who works with the other lawyer and then we come to an agreement. But that wasn't obviously working out.
The intention was that lawsuit was going to destroy our company, which could have, actually. And again, that was just, that's what you do when you do a lawsuit. In a lawsuit, your goal normally is you take the person and have them pay for the damages. These damages would have destroyed our company. So at the end of the day, when I talked to this guy and he called me, he spoke to me for whatever 45 minutes or whatever it was, and he's like, my gosh, I'm so surprised, you sound like a decent person. I was like, oh, thank you. I guess that's a compliment. And so I said, yeah, absolutely, like I'll be over there like whenever you want, next week, whatever. I want to help you with the stuff, I want to do this. And he's like, okay, well, we'll get back to you and this and whatever. And I want to say maybe a week later, they said, okay, why don't you come next week. And again,
That was
week,
literally one day before the actual court date.
Yes, the court date was literally like, let's say, I don't know, that was Friday, and like we were flying up on Thursday or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we arrive, and like, that's a whole story, and I can't go into it, right? I can't go into a lot of details here, but the point is, I showed them a lot of stuff that they could improve.
They were impressed. They were really impressed by Aaron and I and how what kind of people we were when they actually met us in person.
Yeah, and Whitney shows up there, you know, she's pregnant, right? Like, very pregnant. We're like, I don't know, 6 months pregnant. And, like, she shows up, and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, you're very pregnant. Like, sorry, like, we put you through this stress. Like, no worries. Could
no,
you please sign
really
the settlement?
Beautiful people. And, honestly, the this company, they're such beautiful people, and they really do care, and they were very kind, and they absolutely wanted to work with us. It was really just a... It was an unfortunate situation where we didn't have very good
representation. It was bad. And when we actually spoke... And the lawyers, by the way, the lawyers actually recommend you cannot contact them directly. They kind of make you really scared.
That's true.
If you contact them directly, like, they can use that against you. They're going to do that. Like, absolutely not. You want to say anything, give it to me, and I'll forward it, and this, and, like... They don't want you to communicate directly. Why? Because when you communicate with each other, you generally can find a resolution. And the lawyers then are out of a job. So anyway, not that all lawyers work like this, but that's just been our experience in this particular case. So direct communication, from what I understand, and again, this is not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer and I don't know anything and I do not provide legal advice. But from my understanding, in my situation, the direct communication was the thing that solved it. We did get a settlement, I think, the day before the court happened. All the details confidential strictly, but we settled it. And it was fantastic.
And then you were helping them.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to. I'm like, I'll do whatever to help you guys because you're allowing us to live, literally, which is
literally
amazing, you know?
So then right after that, I remember we went home and we were like, wow, that was intense. That was so intense. We were on the cusp of literally having not to have to work a normal job anymore, just literally transitioned over to working for ourselves. And that was so intense and it was way too risky. And that's when we realized that we were operating at risk with just having only
one hero
at that
product.
Time, we had one hero product and we had three or four other products, but they were not pulling their weight enough. So if we lost that one product, we absolutely would have lost basically everything. And I remember that there was a frother that you had been looking for over a year. There is a supplier that we had been looking for, this supplier, and you had given me the task even of trying to find the supplier.
Okay, because I gave up. I couldn't do it. I looked. I think I probably spent 20 hours on freaking Alibaba over and over, finding and messaging and this. Like, yes, we have it. And they would send me something that was totally different and a disaster.
Yeah. So then actually, I think it was about a month later, Athena called you, who was one of our good friends at the time. And then what did she tell you?
Come to China. So what are you talking about? Yeah, we're all going to China. Come on over. It's like, are you crazy? I'm having a baby and this. She said, no, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to go there. Did it. Okay, well, how long? I think it was it 5 weeks? No, 3 weeks.
I don't remember. 21 days.
And I did the math. It was like 21 days is something like 7% of my year or whatever. It was like 3 weeks. It's a lot of time. And so I said, what? That's kind of nuts. But I guess we got to you either die or you thrive or die. You know what I mean? You're going to go up or you're going to go down. So I don't know. At some point. And I even said no to her like 5 times. And she's like, no. Like, you should come. This is going to be amazing. Your business is going to change this and that. And she would not take no for an answer. And I really thank her for that because we talked about it and you said
yes. Wasn't it called China Magic?
China Magic, yeah.
Okay. So I think, was this her first one that she did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So I remember you asking me, so Whitney, what do you think about me going to China? But remember you said, listen, if I could just find this one frother. That was why you wanted to go, right?
Yeah, that was number one reason, yes.
Yeah, and I remember thinking that we have to find this frother because we've been talking about this frother for so long already. And, you know, I was, I think, about six or 7 months.
You were very pregnant.
Pregnant. And we had our two-year-old at the time, or almost two-year-old, so she was almost two. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a sacrifice. I'm going to be by myself. But you know what? If we can find that frother, I think it would be very worth it. And it was another sacrifice we did. And I remember he's like, listen, it's just we're in the sacrifice mode, Whitney. Sacrifice now for, what is it? What was it? A more beautiful future.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So off to China I went and met a bunch of people out there. It was a great trip. But I'd spent, you know, it's 3 weeks and I talked to supplier after supplier after supplier. We got, you know, a better factory for our lemon squeezer. And that was going to save us something like $20,000 a year. And the quality was going to be improved. So that was like, that paid for the trip. That was good. But we still hadn't find the product we're looking for, right? For the milk frother for 3 weeks. And it was the last day of the Canton Fair. And so I called Whitney. It's like 4 o'clock in China time. The thing closes at 5 and I called her. I said, I couldn't find it. I said, Whitney.
People are closing.
Whitney, everything's closing. I couldn't find the frother. I'm sorry, but we saved this money on the lemon squeezer. I found a bunch of other good products. We have like some good knives. We have some good this. We have whatever. We have like a bunch of stuff. I have like 50,000 business cards. I met a bunch of people. Even to this day, some people will like send me. I did selfies with the guys, and like gave them, and they would send me a picture of me and them like 5 years ago or whatever. They're like, oh, can you want this new product? So, anyway, fantastic trip. But I said we couldn't find this Rother, Whitney. So I called you and told you the bad news.
Yeah, I was like, no way. Aaron, you're not coming back here without finding that frother. I said, I do not care if you stay there another 2 fucking weeks. But you're going to stay until you fucking find the frother. We're not going to have done this entire trip for you not to have found it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care if you don't come home.
I should put fire in my
you're
ass.
You're not coming home until you find it.
Yeah. So I said, oh, God, okay, oh. And I'm, like, running to every booth. Like, the booths that are not closed. I'm like, okay, what do you have? Oh, oh. And I'm, like, at the last row. And I go, this is worthless. But I don't have a choice. Oh. And I went to one booth. And I'm like, okay, this. And I talked to the guy. And I said, hey, I'm looking for this. And he's like, I have one. We have a frother. I said, really? Show me. And he took me one. It wasn't exactly the same. But I said, we're going to need to make a stand. And we need to do this. And we're going to do this. And he's like, we can do that. I said, really? Okay, and he got the pricing. It was good. Everything was fantastic. I said, okay. And this has been our... Literally in that last hour, all the magic happened. This has been our number one supplier. We have the exclusive. We've made a bunch of different types of frothers. We've designed our own stand with the guy. I mean, we've designed it. He's produced it. We've done all sorts of crazy stuff, but it's literally paid off so much in that... 1 5-minute conversation with Whitney putting fire under my ass. I was literally about to go home. I wasn't gonna stay there.
And he was literally telling me he's tired, his feet hurt, he didn't wanna go on the fair anymore. There's only an hour left. Everybody's packing up. The booths are all going down. There's no point. I'm like, no.
It's the moment of average. The moment of average. This is when everybody gives up. You know, like, you know, you can give up on your business. You give up. This is only one part of the thing, but a lot of times. You're like, it's over, you know? You're that close to winning. You're that close to success. And I just said, I can't take it. But I had no idea. I thought it was doomed and we were screwed. And so in the end, no, we found it. So, Whitney, good job.
Oh, you good job. You continued. You listened to me. You know?
Well, I had no choice, Whitney. I'd get spanked if I go home without that thing. I'm going to get spanked. And not in the good way. So, like, that was coming. That was coming for me. So I had no choice. And so anyway, that's the point when you're a team, like you both have the same effort. You have the same idea going forward. And so we ended up finding it. So that was spectacular. And then again, that's the story. Like the company really grew after that. Like that trip was huge for us. Absolutely freaking huge. And I know if you go to, I guess, I don't know, chinamagic.com or you check with Athena, she's still doing these trips, so you can go to China. I can't guarantee anything, because trust me, if you stop in the last hour, you probably won't find what you're looking for. So, anyway, but yeah, you know, and as you guys see, if you look right now, we have the number one milk frother, we have the number two milk frother, we have number three milk frother, like, all these things are produced, we have the best designs, the best motors, the best stuff, we worked, and we found somebody who was going to be an amazing partner, and that, it was like, in the last moment, we almost didn't do that, so... Yeah, that was some drama, but okay, going forward, I don't know what happened then, 2017.
Then basically we launched it, I think, in January 2018. Was it launched in January?
I don't know, maybe March or April. I think it was April.
After Violet was born?
April. Yeah, for sure.
April, okay.
Yeah, because you have to talk specs, do the stuff, the mold, the blah, whatever. You know, it took a while. So I think it was April, because I even think right now if we go to the listing, I think it says April on it or...
2018.
Yeah.
And I do remember after that happened and when that did launch, then we got this little what was it? A little
office?
Yeah, a little office. It was about, I think, about 300, maybe 400 square feet.
I think it was like 600. Yeah, I wasn't. It was like 600 square feet.
It was like one room.
Yeah, but it was kind of a big room. Okay. Remember, it had stock in the back and everything.
Yeah. So we had about, at that point, you had done some hires for that place, right?
Yeah. First, we had one little office in the back of, remember, in the back
of
that.
Oh my gosh, that's right. That was before, though.
That was before that.
That was before. Yeah. That was before Violet.
That was like 400 square feet room and we were sharing with someone else.
Before I was even pregnant, wasn't it?
I think Violet was already born. Well, I don't know. Jeez. The timeline gets a little funky. Point is, we got an office and then...
Yeah, you're right. Violet had been born.
Yeah. We got an office and we also almost got into a lawsuit over that office, too. Guys, that's a later story, but...
Really?
Yeah. You don't know that one?
No.
You know it. Anyway, the lease was a renewing...
Oh, that other office. Oh, yeah, I remember.
On Drew.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
I remember that. For sure.
Basically, read these contracts, because the contract basically said, like, 60 or 90 days before the lease is over, if you do not cancel it, this is literally in the document. 90 days before your lease is over, if you don't explicitly cancel your contract, you have another year.
Yeah.
So it was like 1 year before, 1 month before renewal, and I'm like, hey, we want to cancel. And they said, no, you can't cancel anymore.
I know. It was really.
So you have a whole year, and I'm like, I'm not even going to pay. And then they're like, I have lawyers and this, and we're going to send you this letters and this, and we're going to go after your credit. And like, I don't know. It was a crazy legal battle over that. But just read your contracts. I mean, this is like, geez, that was a pain in the ass.
It was.
And the guy was, when we moved in, do you remember? When he moved in, he's like, we'll do anything for you.
He was very nice.
Don't worry, I'll handle anything you have. Oh, the contract. You don't need to sign a contract. You're good. Like, the nicest guy. And then when we're getting away from there, it was like death.
Yeah.
It's crazy how people change like that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but were you going to say a story about actually what were happening in that office and how we almost went bankrupt again?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to get
into. Go for it.
So, when we got that office on Drew Street, I recall I was 8 months pregnant with Violet at that time. And so you had moved in and you started going to the office over there because I had a baby at home. And then what did you do? I wasn't even working with you at that moment. I was with the baby.
We hired like two or three people and spent like had an ads expert. Ads expert, somebody we found on Indeed, and I said, hey, take this over. And so she took it over and I saw the sales go up, and at this time we had zero, we didn't do a profit and loss statement every month, we did it every year. I had zero checking of any profit. We were just looking at the sales numbers and the bank account seemed to be growing, so I thought we were good, but I had no idea. And after we hired, the ads spend went up and the sales went up, but the spend went up too much. And it ended up happening where I was like, we have no money. We're going to pay for this next order. There's no money. What's happening? I don't understand what's going on. And then so I was confronted to, like, I had to look at some numbers. And so the company was, although we were selling maybe $150,000 a month, the daily profit was something like $200.
Which, I remember you telling me that you came home one day telling me what's going on.
Yeah. So I'm like, we're making $200, which is, if I was making $50 an hour before, that was $56, $60. That would have been like me working 4 hours a day and that's it. Like, that was our profit.
And I was like, what?
So, the danger and again, at this point, the big issues were the ads were crazy and not being kept track of. The profit was not being kept track of. And then over hiring, because realistically, those guys were... I don't know. I was thinking we hire people and like the sales are just going to go up, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. So at that point, like I realized I really did have to work in the company and I couldn't just.
She had to save my ass again.
You actually saved our ass when on the lawsuit. That's true. You did that.
Yeah. Yeah. But also you being pregnant was enough to get me to move too. Cause at that point.
Okay.
Anyway, but no, so yeah, the profit was down to 200.
Yeah.
And so at that point I said, we fired the ads person, we fired like the keywords person, we fired the ads person. I think we fired like three people.
Yeah.
Or two, maybe there was only two people.
I don't remember.
Whatever,
whoever
we fired
there,
two or three people. We
heard you, fired like you two. Let them all go because the company was literally making what he said, $200.
Yeah. It was crazy. Well, that was after their salaries, right? So whatever. The point is, we were about to die and crush, and everything was going to go into the ground and crash. And so then that was like, okay, how are we going to fix this? First of all, keep track of the daily profit. So we actually built out Samurai Seller, right? That was the inception of Samurai Seller. I partnered with the guy who taught me how to code. and we built Samurai Seller, and we're like, good, there's a daily profit every single day. Okay, we need to manage that. Okay, perfect. Fantastic. Good. First step, if you don't know it, you can't control it. That's like so easy. And so unfortunately, we were just looking at the numbers and I was excited. We're like, oh, we're at $170,000 in sales. Like, woohoo.
And then also what happened when you saw that the Zulai company wasn't doing so hot, you didn't remember, didn't you take on some... Some consulting stuff, and also this tea thing you started. Just saying, because you started doing other stuff to try to make up for the lack of.
It's true. It's the shiny object syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I started like this guy had this company. You want to do some teas.
And we didn't even get paid for things. No, that you were doing.
I didn't get paid. I started a consulting agency at that time.
Yeah.
And I worked more on that than on Zulai, and that, I literally didn't get paid the last 2 months, even though we got the revenue from like 9,000 a month to 60,000 a month. It was like 7,800 a month, actually, not 9,000, 7,800 a month. We got it to 60,000 a month in 3 months, and the entirety I got paid for like 6 months was like $4,000. The last invoices, because it was a profit share. I did like this profit share and like, I'll get you way up there and then you pay me. And then the last few months, they didn't even pay. When they actually made a bunch of money, I didn't even get paid. So point is, consultancy was a horrible idea. Then I tried to do another private label brand and I tried to launch someone else's brand. And we did all this. So at this time when really the company needed the most attention,
yeah,
it was like shiny object syndrome. You know, like every other thing that exists in the world, I was going after all those other things. And you told me not to, no?
Yeah, I did. I told you not to.
He said, don't do the consulting.
And I said, it's really random. I said, it's not focusing on what what had been successful in the past.
Yeah. And I said, listen, it's going to help with the cash flow. We don't have enough cash to order product. This is going to be good for cash flow.
And I was like, listen, but they're not even paying you. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but they will.
Yeah, and they didn't. So anyway, at that point, again, the company, we were making less in this huge multi-million dollar company than in working a 9-to-5 job. Because of not having the numbers, because of bad management, bad decisions, not listening to my wife.
So I basically gave him an ultimatum. If I'm going to act, because he had been trying to get me to work in the company like full time for a little bit. And I was telling him, no, I'm not going to. No, no, no. But
a lot more aggressive than that.
Yeah. We would actually yell at each other a lot. He was like, you have to come in the company. I was like, no, I don't. And I'm not going to. Anyways.
So. You didn't have two babies and the whole thing. And it's true. At that point, she wins the conversation.
And the thing is that I was also working my ass off for 15 years. I know, whatever.
I'm just saying, at that point, what are you going to say? It's true. I didn't birth two babies. I didn't.
Okay. So
you're right.
Anyways.
So it's true.
So anyways, the point is I told him, if I'm going to go in the company, remember?
I have to focus.
You would have to focus.
Well, there you go.
And you'd actually need to like not do all that random activity that you were doing.
Yeah, there was a lot of random stuff. It was really just dumb. There's one thing. It's just like the thing that works, we just continue to do it. I think it's taken me a while to learn that, but.
Right.
I don't know if I fully learned it yet.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was, so what do we have? We almost had one bankruptcy with the lawsuit, another bankruptcy from the ads. Was it just two?
No, I mean, more recently there
was. Oh,
thing,
yes,
but,
of course.
But,
gosh.
But we don't need to go that far.
Okay, that'll
forward.
Be for the next episode.
We don't need to go that far forward yet.
Yes, yes, yes.
So then I went in. We also went to the 10X, what was a huge change actually in our company. Mm-hmm. There was like a massive change when we had a huge increase in sales and an expansion of the company. Was we went to the 10X Growth Con in Miami.
Yep. Was that 2018 or 2019?
It was 2019. Violet had just turned one.
Wow.
And your dad backed us up, and I think your mom was there too. They both were there backing us up,
watching the babies, right?
Helping us with the girls, yeah.
Wow.
So that we were able to go, and I'm very, very grateful for that, because that was a huge change in the company at that time. Mm-hmm. So we invested in ourselves, and I feel like at that time when we went to the Growth Con, we got on the same page. And
yes.
We were both aligned with where we wanted to go and what we were going to accomplish.
So I'm just looking at the date.
Okay. Let me just check. I think it was, so I just wanted to check if it was like this. Oh, 4 years ago. What year is that? Hold on.
I think it's 2019.
2019, you're so right. Yeah. Right again. Miss Whitney is correct. It is for sure 2019, February. And
yeah.
You didn't want to go to this conference at all.
No, I didn't. I was like, I don't want to listen to Grant. You know, Grant is just, you know, he's a loud guy. He makes it, you know, he makes all this noise. And
they don't want to go. What? I mean, I had to drag.
I can read a lot
her.
Of other things. I can just read books. I don't have to go listen to a guy, you know.
She and I said, we are going to go somehow. I don't know how I convinced you. I don't remember.
But, you did.
Okay.
And yep. You know, I listened to you.
Yep.
Right. So
So we showed up.
Oh my gosh, I was thanking him profusely after we went for fucking making me go.
Because and you actually, she's the one who I don't know if it turned it around. At that point, we weren't like totally down, but I remember we listened to the people and pretty much person stage after stage after stage, everybody going up was talking about the team and the team and the team, and our team was like pretty bad. Our team was not very good.
That's true.
And so at that moment, I was like, Whitney, we should hire people. She's like, and I said, yeah, we'll go back and look for people. She said, no. What you want? Remember
we're
gonna
hire people right now.
She's like,
let's start. Let's do action. We can't just like go back and wait. We don't need to wait. Waiting is the horrible word.
Yes. So literally, Whitney said, we're not gonna wait to get back to hire people. Get on the phone now. Who can you call? Who are we gonna call right now? We're gonna get hiring now. And so I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, okay, we'll call. And I don't know. Somehow, by the time we got back.
Between the both of us, we were calling a lot of different people.
Just going down the contact list. Who can we hire? Who do we want to work with? Who do we want to work with?
Yeah.
And I think right there, we basically found two people.
That's right.
Before we left. That's before right. We left the event.
That's right.
And that was I was not going to do it. I was not looking to hire anybody. I was going to go back and just put it on like the list of things to do. And like, we'll hire somebody. When he's like, now. We're going to do it now. And so then we called. And two people we basically made offers to. Then we met back. And within a month, we hired at least three people.
Yeah, we hired three people, two of which are our execs.
That are literally our top executives in the company, which mm-hmm. happened literally because we went to the event around people who are way bigger than us, listening to billionaires literally talk. Like Sarah Blakely was there, like some amazing people. And they're like, what the flip? Like these guys are ridiculous. And we kept hearing the same thing. At least I heard the same thing.
Yes.
Everybody was saying it. Everybody on the stage was like, your team, your team, your team. And we're like, our team is terrible. It's me. I'm the team. And that's not a good team. So anyway, yeah. And then that our best people we got right around that time period. And so that was a humongous shift and growth in the company. And we had a very, very huge growth that year. That year we tripled the sales. And the next year we like quadrupled. So anyway, something like that. Numbers are rough.
Okay. Right.
We're not publicly traded, so it's not even a problem. I can still say whatever I want, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then basically, was it 2 years ago during COVID? You had this strategy, some really intense.
You want to go into our next death, or should we do that the next podcast?
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, we can. I think this is a good episode. And we got some good information. We got to leave a little cliffhanger for the next one, and so basically. The next one was probably the biggest burn. It was actually the crash was, I don't know, it was probably one of the worst ones. Because at that point we had responsibilities, we had people. It's like, now you make a mistake, a lot of people feel the effect, right? A lot of your employees, and like, this was a humongous crash coming, and mostly it was really my fault. But here's the thing, you know what's crazy? Each time that I'm like about to explode things, there's a valuable lesson learned every time. Because now, the mistake... Okay, for example, the mistake from the one that we just did, mm-hmm. not knowing the profit, I'll never make the mistake again.
I know.
I'm obsessed with the profit every single day. What happens today? Like, actually, yesterday was a lower profit day because we did a change, and I'm like, okay, and I already know what we're going to fix today, right? Like, every single day, one decision, and it's like, it's always keeping track, so that doesn't happen again.
Right.
Same with, I guess, the hiring. I mean, we can learn that over and over, but... We have a team now and we're working on it. We're always recruiting. So like, by the way,
that's true. We are always recruiting.
Our website is open for applications.
Always.
Yes, it's true. Is there anything you want to wrap wrap it up and say anything?
No, I think this is a good point. If there is any questions that anybody has about anything, you always can write your questions to the email.
Find Whitney on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I know she's not that active on LinkedIn, but she's going to be starting right now. And and anyway, so yeah, that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed this, and we will continue on with the saga of how we almost went bankrupt again.